60 seconds, you can do a lot of things in that time, but something you don't think about is getting a cash offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. The amount of time it takes you to brush your teeth, just all these other ridiculous things that we don't even think about. It's a minute, 60 seconds, you will get a true cash offer. And best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter the license plate number, watch your car's details pop up, answer some questions, and you will get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It is that easy. You bring in your car to that dealer, they will check it out with you, ask some questions, no surprises. Then leave with your check. It is that easy. Or if you want to trade in, you can lock in the price for a car on that TrueCar certified dealer's lot. You know it's a fair price because they are competing for your business. And it's a true price because it includes fees and accessories. And you know that vehicle is on that TrueCar certified dealer's lot. And it can be new or used. So then you can just leave with a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. And welcome to Dr. Drew Podcast. Thank you all for supporting those that support us here. Be sure to click through on the banners on the website. And we try to, again, be very careful with the people that support the podcast. So please support them so we can keep the winds in the sail of the Corolla pirate ship. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Tia Carrera.
Hello.
Tia, how are you?
Nice to see you.
It really is good to see you. Strangely, you came up in our household recently because we were watching Wayne's World. Just out of the
blue.
Out of the blue. We just started watching. We're like,
it's probably in reruns on something.
It was on something, on some cable or something. And we were just like, well, how's Tia? How's she doing? And so isn't that weird?
And now you can ask me.
And now how are you? How are things?
Look how you manifested that.
I did.
Like Oprah of you.
It was very weird because literally I was telling Tia before the mics heated up that we saw you doing a live version of Dancing with the Stars in Las Vegas.
Dancing with the Stars.
Said hi to you and Joey Fatone. And what's
Who
his name from Queer Eye?
Oh, yeah, Carson. Carson Kressley. He was the host of
it
the whole
funny.
Thing.
It was good.
It was a fun show.
Yeah.
It was fun. They wanted me to go and do it with them on the cruise ships. And I'd love to go on a cruise ship one day, but
you
I don't
get
know.
Stuck on one.
It's hard enough dancing in high heel shoes on ground that doesn't move.
Oh my
but
God.
On a ship, that's probably a recipe for disaster for me.
And then Dancing with the Stars just goes on and on and on, right?
Yeah, I could drop in and probably do Saskatchewan. Oh, no. What's that? King Edward's whatever island or whatever.
They just keep,
Prince Edward Island.
That's so crazy. So there's a show moving around that people are in?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the dancers are an amenity for the cruise.
Why not? Why
participants.
Not?
You know, it was a fun time and really good for exercise too. Like I went on when Bianca, my daughter, was 5 weeks old. And it was
on the original
show.
TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that
you were 5 weeks postpartum.
Yeah. Yeah. I was carrying her and the baby Bjorn when I walked onto the show initially.
That is insane.
Yeah. It is insane with the lack of sleep and then waking up every 2 hours to feed a baby and then to have to memorize dance steps.
Oh, and plus
I wouldn't suggest it.
Well, your brain isn't right from all the progesterone. The you know, what pregnancy leaves your brain kind of cloudy.
Not to mention my back and my pelvis.
Oh, my
so there's
God.
That.
Is she your only daughter? Or is that your only
child? Yeah, one and done. I think it was just too traumatic, the whole thing. It was very, very
You're
difficult.
Not a good pregnant person?
No. Actually, I loved being pregnant. I love waddling around, you know, big as a house, being able to go and eat whatever I want, even though I didn't. I craved salads, but...
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Salads and orange juice, but then I realized folic acid, maybe.
Maybe.
In there, but but I couldn't stand the smell of seafood. Whatever.
Well, that makes... I mean... Those kinds of aversive sensations you have sometimes protect you against, you know,
bad fish and getting sick.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's some adaptive advantage to that. Tell me about AJ and the Queen.
So I just finished on a show called AJ and the Queen with RuPaul, who's fabulous.
Is he not? Yeah.
Fabulous. Love him. And I'd never worked with him before. And he's just kind and gentle and lovely.
And smart.
I look and a survivor like me. I mean, you know, 35 years later, just... Still working and keeping it straight, and you know that's a success in and of itself to just be able to work in this business and keep your wits about you for the amount of time that we have.
35 years. Wayne's World was 92.
Yeah, I came out in 1984. I was 17 when I came out here.
Oh, my God. From where?
From Honolulu, Hawaii. And I was at an all-girls Catholic school. So I was very, my world was very small. From this pebble in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, although you know it as, you know, Honolulu, Hawaii, but it's very tiny. And then a producer's mother and father approached me and said, "Darling, you're gorgeous. You should be the female lead in my son's film." And I got the female lead in the film. I went in and read for the casting director who had done Karate Kid. So I knew it was an up and up, you know, kind of project. But I moved to Hollywood. And
what was that first film?
I was 17 when I moved here.
What was the first film?
It's called Aloha Summer.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, silly little movie. Nobody's ever seen it.
And then the Wayne's World is really where things moved up, though, right?
Yeah, Wayne's World changed my life. Yeah. It was, you know, that old adage of, you know, who's Tia Carrere? Get me Tia Carrere and then get me a younger Tia Carrere. Who's Tia Carrere? That's sort of the stages of the actor's life. I guess I'm in an additional step now. Oh, wow, it's Tia Carrere again. I loved her back then.
And in,
26 years later.
Which is great. And,
yeah.
And AJ and the Queen is about what?
It is, a great big drag queen, Ruby Red, goes on a cross-country adventure in an RV with a little stowaway, a kid named AJ, and mayhem ensues.
And antics
it's unlike this unlikely pair become, you know, a little family. And myself and Josh Segarra, who was on Arrow, he and I were the villains of the show. And we're sort of Michael Patrick King, who did Sex and the City.
Yep.
He said, we're like Boris and Natasha from
oh,
the Rocky
funny.
And Bullwinkle cartoon.
Yeah.
Rocky,
is he short?
Is he?
Because that's you know,
with
Boris and Natasha.
With high heel shoes, yes, I guess I was a bit taller than him, but not quite the height differential of those two. But Boris and Natasha, as seen through a David Lynch lens.
Weird.
Yeah, weird. Weird, dark, trippy, bizarre. But
Okay, is it out now?
No,
coming soon.
Not yet. Later this year.
Netflix.
Yeah, and then I just did another show last night on that was Hulu. I'm just sweeping through the streamers.
What else? That's all I watch these days, seems
yeah,
like.
Me too.
Yeah.
I play...
Before you say that, Gary, the heat seems to be on.
It is warm in
Gary,
here, right?
Can you help
I'll
us
come,
with this?
I'll come turn
yeah,
it off,
thanks.
No problem. Yeah. Adam tends to shut everything down as he leaves. If you hit that button one too many times,
it goes to heat. Yeah.
It can.
He turned it on to the heat. I was like, okay, is it just me?
It is hot.
I'm like, it's not those hormones yet. I know that.
Right? Crazy. Yeah, please.
Yes, please.
So
I should have brought my Chinese fan with
this
me.
Other show, the Hulu show?
Yeah. What is? Oh, yeah. But can we do it now? Or
we're on. We're still taking.
Oh.
Yeah. No, this
you're just going to edit. This is all going to be in on.
Maybe not.
Let's just put the air conditioning on. But I play Shame Mitchell's mom. She was on Pretty Little Lies.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty Little Liars. I was switching.
Was she the young of the four?
She looks like me. She's half Filipino.
Okay.
Got long brown hair.
Are you half Filipino?
I'm Filipino, Spanish, and Chinese. But she's Filipino, Spanish,
so Filipino
Irish,
and Spanish.
Scottish.
Filipino, Spanish is pretty common
yes.
combination, right?
With a little bit of Chinese from my father's side.
You're only giving him a little bit?
No. He's like his grandfather or great-grandfather, you know, that kind of thing. But there's a lot of intermixing of Filipino, Spanish, and Chinese.
Right. Oh, interesting. I didn't know the Chinese was necessarily in the mix.
Like the merchants and stuff in the Philippines were
fantastic
Chinese. Yeah, so.
Do you speak Tagalog or anything?
No, my dad wants us to speak American. No, because he always – well, my mother didn't speak Filipino, so that, you know.
Is it Tagalog? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tagalog, Bisayan, yeah. Ilocano.
Do you still have family in the Philippines?
Not that I'm in touch with. It's sort of, you know, cousins or my grandfather's, you know, brother's side of the family. But I went there a couple times to shoot films, but that's about it.
How about Philippine food? I have patients that would bring – they're Filipino that would bring me these great lumpia.
Lumpia, the little egg rolls. Yeah. And I remember being on a line at my house where everybody has a wrapper, somebody has to put the green beans in it, and then the shrimp and the pork and the chicken, and then bean sprouts, and then you had to use the egg yolk to close it up and then
and
fry
they're good.
It.
Mm.
Yeah. Yum, yum. You're making me hungry.
I know. I'm
we
hungry
haven't
too.
Had dinner yet. But.
Sorry.
We're going to have deep psychological
okay, we'll get
discourse
there.
I'm, here. I'm just,
okay, we'll go to that. So
No.
Oh, I'm ready for that. So I just want to make sure we get all your stuff out there.
Oh, all that stuff
we can
to
also,
sell.
You can see Tia Carrera. You can follow her on Twitter at T-I-A Carrera, C-A-R-R-E-R-E. C-A-R-R-E-R-E.
Right. Correct.
TiaCarrera.com. And, okay, I think we got most
Instagram
of the,
at Tia Carrera.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But you grew up in Hawaii.
Born and raised in Hawaii.
And your parents still together?
No. My dad and mom and my two younger sisters moved to Samoa. So they moved to another country when I was a teenager.
Wait a minute.
Without me.
What?
I know. It's bizarre when I say it out loud. I'm like, I would never leave my 13-year-old daughter in another country away from me.
You actually did something like you were like coming out of a crystal. Like it was hard to say it. Yeah, like this.
Well, it's just – it's bizarre. But, you know, that which does not kill us only makes us stronger. Shalom.
Why were they going to Samoa?
Okay, so it was for a job for my dad. Very logical move.
What kind of job did he do?
He was a banker for Bank of Hawaii.
Okay.
And so there was a bank there, Pacific something bank, whatever. So he got offered a good salary and a job. And my mom and my sisters went because my sisters were younger. I was sort of on the cusp of going into high school. So they were concerned about the quality of the education so that I could transition back into Sacred Hearts Academy in Honolulu.
Oh.
So that was the plan. They were going to go for a couple, 3 years. I would stay with my grandmother and they would come back. But when they came back, my father stayed behind with my stepmom, at the time his secretary.
Oh, my God.
So it was one of those, come on, midlife crisis much?
Oh, no.
But so, yeah, it was very catastrophic to our family.
Were you aware all that was going on at a distance, or was it not until they returned?
No, I had no idea. So it was, I remember fighting tooth and nail. I said, don't go. This is not a good thing. I feel it. I know it's a bad thing. So, you know, then it.
I told you so.
I knew this was a bad thing.
Oh, no.
No, I was very, wise beyond my years.
And you were 16, 17 at that point?
Yeah, but 16, yeah.
Oh, no wonder you then took off.
Yeah, so I left home when I was 17.
You're pissed.
Nah, well, it was everything kind of blew up. I was waiting around. It was supposed to come back another way. This wasn't supposed to happen. So,
yeah, you're pissed.
But I was also very detached. I wasn't part of that unit, and I think it informed how I, you know, conducted my life until I found therapy. But it was, you know, I think when you're a teenager, you learn how to communicate. Your emotions and you learn how to work things out in a relationship and you see your parents and, you know, for better or for worse, that you learn how to interact with other people. And so I was very much a loner. My sister that's a year and a half younger than me said that, one of her friends at school said, oh, your sister's kind of a loner. She's kind of funny. She's kind of odd, you know, because I didn't really fit in with any particular group.
Was it shy?
It is shyness, but it's also just not knowing how to speak to people. And
then you didn't have a real active family life.
So there was not, my grandmother was not very communicative. Mm. I loved her dearly, and she taught me so many great life skills. But
how to make lumpia.
Yeah, she always cooked, and you know, she was very responsible. She worked at Pearl Harbor for 50, 60 years. And she, whenever a bill came in, we were in the car on our way to the electric company to pay it, to the phone company to pay it, to Sears to pay off her bill.
Right.
So she was very responsible. And she never, you know, if you can't afford to pay for it, you shouldn't buy it. And so that was good for me.
Let's stay with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so your family takes off. You said you were trying, you packed a lot into some of those statements. You were saying that you were learning how to express your emotions until you found therapy. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't. I didn't. I kept everything in. I didn't.
You didn't.
Yeah. I just sort of barreled on through. I moved to LA. I got on my path and started working and all this stuff. But, you know, this is a very confusing world in Hollywood, what we live in. And I think it takes a toll on you if you don't have the other part of it to keep you straight.
I've just noticed that people that haven't had other jobs, like this, their job has been the business of show or something about it forever. It's not orienting.
The only job I've ever had.
Yeah, it's got to be hard.
I've never had – well, I modeled. I sing as well. But this is the only job I've ever had. There's no plan B for me. So it's by sheer force of will I'm like going to make this work. But it's very confusing because you're the product. Mm. And when somebody looks at you and says, no, I don't like it. I don't want it. It's hard not to take it personally, but you really have to – approach it from a place of, well, they didn't want paprika today. They wanted cumin.
Right.
Because that's how subtle the difference is between two people and their looks or their performances. It's the chemistry of it. Or I don't know, you remind somebody of their ex-wife.
Right.
You know, you just don't know. But, you know, you just got to keep going. It's a game.
You jump past the anger. So you were angry.
That's what fuels me. That's what fuels me in my life, my anger.
Does it?
Less than it used to, but that hard knot in your gut, like nobody hurts me. I get angry and success is the best revenge. And that's, you know, that drove me for a long time.
When did that come to you?
Oh gosh. From the time I was, you know, left alone too much as a teenager.
So you decided then that's what I'm going to.
Well, because I used to enter talent contests, and that was when I truly felt alive, understood, accepted,
singing?
Admired, not invisible.
The singing?
Yeah, I sang. So now I have two Grammys with a childhood friend of mine, Daniel Ho.
Wow.
And we perform and do music. But we performed together when we were 13 and 14.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
And we performed at the Waikiki Shell in a talent contest called Brown Bags to Stardom. That was, foreshadowing of things to come. But it was a radio station thing where all the high schools had their individual contests and all the winners performed at the Waikiki Shell. So my whole thing was I sang at the Kahala Mall, at the Ala Moana, at this place. And that was my jam. And so that's how I was.
Followed Don Ho.
Well, I never had my own, you know, geodesic dome on the lawn of the Hilton Hawaiian Village, but you know that time soon may come.
People don't remember he was a big deal.
Yeah, he was. He had his own TV show.
Yeah.
Women swooned. Yeah, that voice.
Hey,
sister. I met him at a karaoke bar in Honolulu. He's like, hey, sister, you have a beautiful voice. You should sing. You.
He was
Don Ho.
Is he still alive?
No,
yeah.
He passed away.
He was on Loveline years ago.
Oh, was he?
Years
and I
ago.
Was too.
Yes, I remember
back
you vividly.
Then,
but
yeah.
He, I can barely remember because it was way back.
Wow.
And he, it was shocking because he was regaling us with his love of cannabis.
And so
it was shocked. We were shocked. Oh, my God.
And now, it's legal.
Yeah.
And, geez. Pakalolo. That's what they call it in Hawaii. Pakalolo.
My daughter's in Hawaii right now. She seems to have fallen in love with it. It's hard not to.
She's fallen in love with Pakalolo.
Well, I don't know. We'll find out about that. But certainly she's on.
Oh, you're saying Hawaii.
Hawaii.
She fell in love with Hawaii. I'm like, wow, you have a really good relationship. She's talking about her drug use.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
She probably would. But,
no, it's barely a drug. Let's be honest.
For some people, it depends.
I personally can't.
I get panic from
deal
it.
With it. It makes me paranoid.
Yeah.
It's triggers something in my brain that's not good.
Same here. And that's how you know you're genetically different than people who really dig it, because that's just a different reaction, different genetics.
Yeah, I don't know how people function. It worries me that people get behind the wheel and drive.
They're having the same as drinking. They're having a very different experience than you and I have. I'm still intent to try some of the newer things that are out there to see if there's something that doesn't make me feel so bad.
The more chill stuff.
Yeah,
like the chill
terrible.
Stuff. I know. Well,
again.
Once I'm not concerned with keeping, you know, a 13-year-old going to school and on top of homework and career stuff and everything, when I can just go to Hawaii, eat papayas, and sample the wares of the pharmaceutical stuff.
Perfect.
Yeah, then I can chill out a little.
talk about CBD. It's, of course, everywhere today. It's a hot topic, and I get asked about it all the time. Bottom line, although there are way more claims, there is very little clinical evidence just yet. The science is lagging behind, but many people are using it and reporting anecdotally very good results. I want to first define exactly what we're talking about here. CBD, or cannabidiol, is an extract from hemp. And while you might associate it with marijuana, CBD is the non-high, non-rewarding component of hemp. And it's responsible for other effects, calming, sleep, not high. Now, about the products. There are a ton of them out there today. Forget the vast array of reported health benefits. It's important to be aware of what you're buying. I was recently introduced to a company called Select CBD, an Oregon-based company that focuses on high-quality ingredients and manufacturing standards. No hype. Their CBD-based products are available in a wide range of formulations and flavors, each of which is clearly described to you so you can make an informed decision without promises that seem too good to be true. Like I said, the reported benefits of CBD are compelling, and I'm excited to see how things develop with the science as this booming industry gets going. So if you want to try CBD, you might check out Select CBD. To learn more, go to drdrew.com/select. That is my site, drdrew.com/SELECT. For a limited time, you can save 25% at checkout with the code DRDREW. Well, our friends at Zoom Video Communications, Zoom.com, find happy with Zoom. If you're not using Zoom, what's the matter with you? I mean, they have mastered video conferencing and audio, too. We sometimes will just use the audio. Flawless video, clear audio, instant sharing of files, video, anything. You can connect through any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, smartphone, conference room system, whatever it is, Zoom Room, Zoom Video Webinar, Zoom Phones, put state-of-the-art tech at your fingertips. It's intuitive, it is easy, and it's reliable. If you're not using Zoom, the only question is, why not? I'll make it super easy, and somehow, I don't know how we offer this, but you can set it up for free with us. Visit Zoom online and set up the free account today. Try the most affordable, most reliable video communications in the market. Meet happy with Zoom Video. Just head to zoom.us, and again, set it up for free today. Visit Zoom. So, 13, so you're just starting to get into it.
It's the hardest, best job I ever had.
It's
hard because you really have to check yourself, or you mess them up.
It's very easy.
So it's all my years of self analysis. Well, not self analysis, of analysis.
Were you in analysis or psychotherapy?
I was in, well, the first time I started, I was in 5 days a week.
I'm knee deep
in the hoopla.
Were you having a crisis of some time?
Yeah, I was having a crisis called my first marriage.
Uh-oh, what happened?
No, it was not in the happy place. And
how long did it last?
We were together for about 9-10 years.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but I was much younger and not as clear about what was acceptable or unacceptable to me. And we were very, very different people. So, yeah.
Do you still have a relationship with him or is that?
No.
Uh-oh.
No.
He mistreated you.
He's him. And, well, I'm from Honolulu, Hawaii, and he's from Beirut, Lebanon.
So oh, my goodness.
It's a very different
world.
Yeah. It's a different world. So many ways.
So you went 5 days a week, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that does suggest analytic sort of approach. We on a couch.
Yeah, she became my surrogate mom, and we worked through a lot of issues. You know, my mom and my dad basically sort of I was like a big tangled rubber band ball, and slowly but surely we would take the blue rubber bands and put it in this box, and the red and the pink and the brown, and they were all sorted out in their little trays, so I knew where stuff was coming from, but it wasn't so overwhelming and blowing my mind, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like you still get triggered by stuff, you know, somebody does something that pokes a wound that's deep within you. But you know where it comes from, and you can say, oh, you know what? That's old business. I don't necessarily – that doesn't really apply to me anymore. And you can just sort of be a little disattached from it and go, it's okay. You know, you don't have to let that completely freak you out or scare you.
I had therapy for a lot of years. And the way I think of it is I had severe anxiety and panic, all kinds of stuff. And whatever traumatizing I was dealing with in therapy – I can think about it now, and none of it's okay, but it doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? That's what I feel like. It's like, it doesn't bother me anymore. It's like, yeah, I could make it bother me, I guess. I could think about it till it did, but it's like,
That's what's so great about it. And, I mean, some people have religion. Some people have yoga and meditation, and some people have therapy. Sometimes it's a mixture of any of these. But
I really think real change happens with another person. That's my own personal experience for sure.
Oh, you mean like in the therapeutic relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's for me and my analytical mind, it really worked because I could let out these jumbled up feelings mm-hmm. that were tripping me up, and she could sort of from the outside with no skin in the game go, well, you know, had you thought about that, maybe it was because of this that you have that sort of reaction to this guy. I'm like, epiphany.
Well, but you're co-creating that, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just you and then her.
Right,
it's a co-created thing where she creates an environment that's safe for you to have these feelings.
Yes.
You're safe to receive her feedback. You feel okay, you know, working together on whatever it is that you're feeling and thinking about. That's a relationship, you know, and that's,
yeah,
I think,
that's
where
true.
Real change happens. And a good therapist is using their whole body as an antenna to attune to your stuff. And what that person experiences is informative for you, especially on a 5-day week. How long do you go 5 days a week?
Oh, for, I don't know, a while. A good long while.
Like a year, 2 years?
Yeah, maybe.
Good for you.
Well, it was...
I am so jealous.
I was in a bad way.
Depression?
Yeah, depression. Mm. And, you know, just wearing sweatpants and, you know, big black t-shirts and not really just completely...
Not caring.
I was afraid of flying. Mm. I was afraid of...
Starting getting phobias.
Yeah, phobias in elevators. It's just, you know, when you're all...
Yeah, all that stuff
comes out. In a tumult
inside,
all of it comes out,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So it was... It's the best gift I ever gave myself. And it's, to my mind, the only way you can change core issues, deep core issues.
That's what I'm saying.
That hobble you.
I completely agree with you.
And to be able to come out of that and go... It's something... Sometimes it's as simple as the therapist saying to you, I know you say, oh, I feel crazy, you know, or he says I'm crazy or blah, blah, blah. And she says to you, well, of course you're feeling crazy right now. You're in a crazy situation. Any person would feel crazy in this situation. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have permission.
Right.
I have permission to feel like this.
Right. But
it's validated and it's held.
It's held. That's what she did. She held you and said, of course, that's where you're at right now. And it's okay.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
And this will pass.
Yeah.
And to have somebody just sort of, I don't know.
Hold
it. It's magic. It's magic.
I completely agree with you. And so if you're comfortable, the core issues you're talking about, you feel comfortable talking about any of them?
Well, I mean, it's kind of textbook, you know, daddy issues, having the father that takes off, you know, am I worthy?
But he didn't take off till you were 16, right?
He was gone from my life from the time I was 13.
Well, I'm going to say that's what I was going to ask. Or did it feel like you left when you were a young teenager?
I think the fact that everybody left.
So abandonment straight across.
Yeah, yeah.
So abandonment was a big issue.
Feeling invisible, not feeling safe. And then certainly when my mom came back and the rug was pulled out from under her and my dad took off and started another family. Feeling like you have to be okay. Don't trust anyone. Always have, you know, FU money, so that nobody ever can do that to you.
So you just build a shield around yourself. Yeah.
You're a RoboCop.
Yeah.
Until it doesn't work for you anymore, and then you start getting overwhelmed with the armor that you've built up on yourself, and you're like, why can't I have a real relationship? Well, because you've built this armor around yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I figured out a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a lifetime commitment to being honest with yourself and being honest with other people. But to have a child, I'm glad that I did all this work before I brought a child into the world.
That's
because
so
I wouldn't even know how to speak to her in my old self.
Yeah.
So it's good for me to be able to hold her stuff for her when she wants to share it with me.
Is her dad still around?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you guys still married or is that?
No, we were married. Then we got divorced for 3 years and then we got back together again, but we're not married. So
interesting.
I know.
And that's working?
Yeah, yeah. For all intents and purposes, it's, you know, everything's a process. We're trying to figure things out as we go, but it's, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't know if something shifted in expectations when we got married, or you know what it was, but.
Well, with all the abandonment issues, I'm guessing that you either went for unavailable people or sabotaged people that were available.
Yes, both. All
right.
Of the above.
Right. That's sort of that's the move. You either or.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, the first was an unavailable person. The second now is sabotaging a really good and kind and true person.
Good job.
No. Well, thank you for making that. You just gave me my epiphany right here in this moment.
But
I'm going to take that home with me.
Well, but now it sounds like you're hanging in. What's so interesting about divorce and back together and stuff, you're sort of making yourself hang. Stay with it.
Yeah, and to nothing's perfect. Nobody's perfect.
No kidding.
And the most important thing is that each person in the relationship accepts their responsibility in it. That's what drives me crazy. When someone says it's you or thinks it's like some sort of thing outside of them that's dictating where we are now. No, take responsibility for your side of the road, and I'll take my responsibility for what I've brought to this fight that we're in
now.
Yeah. And then we can work it through. But if someone's not honest with themselves or not honest with you, that becomes difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honesty is key, right?
To the best of our ability, because sometimes people think they're being honest, but if they're not honest with themselves,
mm-hmm. It's hard.
It's hard to get through that bulletproof, you know.
I would say, though, you're putting it in the context of a fight, that if somebody wins, then the relationship loses.
Yeah, there is no winning. That's
right.
True. That's
right.
There is no winning when you fight. I love there's this little book that I got, and I think I heard it on NPR, Theodore Zeldin, and the book was called Conversation, and it was about yay big, little tiny book. But what I took away from it was you come to a conversation with your life experience, your point of view, your perspective, and I come with mine. And in a truly successful conversation, we both become better people for it.
Sure.
And we have a greater consciousness and a larger perspective on each other, on the world. And I just love that concept.
No, I think that's where spirituality exists, is the co-created space.
You know? Yes.
Even just our conversation today, I feel like it's enhancing.
Yeah, it's uplifting.
Yeah.
And you don't feel as lonely in the world. You feel understood. And it's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, when people are at the end of life, they don't think about abstract philosophies. They think about their important relationships. That's what gives life meaning.
Going fishing with their dad and that conversation that was about baseball because he didn't know how to talk about his feelings or whatever, you know. Remember that piece that came out, the hospice nurse that came out with a list of things that she learned from people?
I do remember
at the end of their life.
I don't remember what was on the list, though. Do you?
And it was something about people didn't. Oh gosh, they didn't regret the things that they didn't do.
Oh yeah,
they regretted the time they didn't spare. They didn't share with
important
with,
people.
Yeah, important people.
There it is.
Like you know the wishing that you got that job.
Yeah.
Or that promotion or whatever, when you wish you were there for your kids. You know, kindergarten or their play or their baseball game.
Yeah, yeah. It's heavy. It's hard. It's hard to balance all these things, right?
And with the bright, shiny things of Hollywood, it warps that view where you think that you have to be that. But this stuff that we're talking about is what holds you when your stock is up or down or anything in between.
Well, it makes all the rest of it not matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it matters from a standpoint of like paying your mortgage and things like that.
Yeah.
That's
well,
about all.
Exactly.
But there's
a lot of keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
That is the danger of where we are here.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always so much more, but there's always so much less too. Mm. And it, you know.
Well, that brings up the other topic I was going to sort of touch on, which is the topic of gratitude. We haven't really kind of brought that up, but
I
feel like that's another feeling that I know when people are doing well, they have lots of.
That's key.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. I'm just like, thank you, God, for this beautiful day. Thank you for my home that, you know, we can have simple joys.
So all this stuff we're talking about, I consider health, right? And forgiveness is a big piece of that. And when I always know when people, I'm sorry, gratitude. But I also know, excuse me, that when people are doing very well, they talk about gratitude and forgiveness. That's the other thing they often talk about. And so your family fucked up a bit.
Well, it was circumstances.
Stop making excuses for them. You wouldn't do that to your daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand it wasn't irrational. It wasn't like wildly irrational. It was just fucked up. They just fucked up. And so have you really admitted that and forgiven them, or is it too painful to kind of think about that?
It's hard. And, you know, that's I have not really fully healed that wound in the relationship.
With your mom?
With either of them for different reasons. So it's easier out of sight, out of mind.
For different reasons? What now with mom?
Well, because he took off and, you know, that's an easy one to sort of say, okay, it's your fault because you did this. But then my mother got involved with a very terrible second husband. And so that was, I feel sad for her because she thought that that's what she needed, but it was absolutely, it was a terrible situation.
Domestic violence.
Because you stay away from, I don't want to expose their, you know, Michigas.
Yes. Were you
but it was not,
the object of that aggression ever? Or?
Oh, I left quickly.
You were out.
Oh, my two younger sisters were there.
Ugh.
And so, yeah, so there's a lot of that. And I don't want to, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. My sister's going to listen to it and she'll start crying. Mm. But, you know, it's a hard thing because,
so they had some stuff.
He finally just passed away, so we can talk about it and have conversation. But it's sad because you think of all the years that you lost. So now we're playing catch up.
But that's where the forgiveness comes from, is by looking at, my mom had some issues. She picked bad guys, an unavailable guy, took off on her, and then an abuse. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's her stuff, her own abuse, whatever she went through, getting acted out. I mean,
but it's sad that I didn't want to have my daughter to have a relationship with her grandmother. Oh. Yeah. I didn't want her to be around that.
That being the stepdad, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that melting now? Is that coming down a bit?
Well, he's gone.
So
there's that.
Yeah.
So my mom, we're working on getting her to come move to Phoenix, I think, with my sister, Audra, so that we, and my other sister wants to move there or here, so that we'll all be closer to each other.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And your daughter have a relationship with their grandma now?
No. Not yet. She doesn't know her. She doesn't really know her.
You going to do it? You going to give them something?
Well, once the geography catches up and we're all in one, one area, maybe it'll be easier.
Where does your mom live now?
My mom lives in Vegas, which I know is not that far, but we have LA, Chicago, Vegas, Phoenix. So,
wait a minute. Oh, I see the two sisters, Chicago and Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. And then got LA it. And Vegas. And then, it's under construction.
It's hard.
Under construction.
You can stay pissed at her. It's all right.
Nah. Because that's a weight you carry around with you, you know? And at a certain point, it's like, what did I hear? It's like a poison you keep.
The resentment.
Yeah, it's the poison of resentment.
You take a poison and expect it to kill somebody else.
Oh, yes. I thought that was hilarious.
You sound familiar?
I thought that was hilarious when I heard that. I'm like, that's perfect.
That's what I've been doing.
Oh, my gosh.
If you have chronic pain, I want to suggest you try something. It's called BioWave Go. It's a pain relief technology for people that are wanting to live pain-free but can't seem to shake it. It's a patented, FDA-cleared, 100% drug-free pain relief technology, BioWave Go. It works by blocking pain at the nerve for up to 24 hours after just one 30-minute treatment. This can be really important for people that have never tried something like this. If you want to be able to walk, play, regain your life and sanity, then just try it. BioWaveGo.com. It's something that is very safe, drug-free. BioWave Go has a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee with free shipping, so why not give it a try? It works for professional athletes, patients with chronic pain. Imagine what it might do for you. This is a technology that is highly unlikely to make things worse. Let's face it. It's not a medication. And of course, you know how I feel about medication. People taking opiates, pain relievers for chronic pain, you're only going to make things worse. here's a technology that might work for you. And by the way, there's a no-risk trial associated with it. It sounds good. Give it a try. Why not? It is BIO, BIO Wave, W-A-V-E, Go. BioWaveGo.com. Give it a shot. 30-day, no-risk trial with free shipping. BioWaveGo, B-I-O-W-A-V-E-Go, BioWaveGo.com. If you like my show, you're going to love Creating Confidence with Heather Monahan on Podcast One. Each week, the best-selling author and entrepreneur sits down to help you create your confidence, pursue your dreams, leapfrog the villains you will meet along the way. Download new episodes of Creating Confidence with Heather Monahan every week on Apple Podcast and Podcast One. One Night, One Goal, Stop Suicide, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Out of the Darkness. It's the Overnight Walk, the largest suicide prevention event in history, and it's coming to San Francisco on June 8th and Boston on June 22nd. Register today for the overnight and join thousands as we walk all night to raise funds and awareness for suicide prevention. People describe the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Whether you walk on your own or with an overnight team, together we will walk over 16 miles from dawn till dusk. You'll see landmarks by moonlight, form lasting friendships, and raise millions for this important cause. Money raised supports the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Be a part of something extraordinary. Register today at theovernight.org/Dr. Drew and receive half off your registration fee with the promo code Dr. Drew. That is overnight.org/Dr. Drew, or just call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. Again, that's 888-843-6837. But you can stay angry, but just like these other, the rubber bands don't bother you anymore. You can be angry and not be overtaken by it or bothered by it. You know what I mean? So the stuff she did is not okay, right? And so you can be angry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Your daughter deserves a relationship with her grandma, and you can be a good daughter and for yourself.
Yeah, moving
forward.
Forget
for her.
Yeah.
Forget for her. For you, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely talking again, and, and things are moving in the right direction. But it's a work in progress, you know.
And then your
since
dad?
Since you asked.
Is he still around?
My dad's still around. He and he's still with my stepmom. So they, you know, they're in a very loving, they're in a very loving, you know, I love you, holding hands, walking down the street relationship. So I see them and I go, okay, this is real. This is true.
I guess it worked.
Yeah. And I have two half-sisters that are wonderful girls. And, you know, it's hard. It's bittersweet because then you go, well, there's the life I could have had. There's that nice life, you know, but
don't do that.
No. I'm happy because it turned out okay for me in
yes,
the end.
Yes.
It was a very difficult journey to get to where I am now, but I'm glad that I didn't have a secure foundation under me because it drove me forward.
No,
there
it's
was
good to
no
have some
plan B.
Yeah,
this is like,
I agree with
just
you.
Go gonzo because that's. That's the only thing you can count on. You, yourself, and you. Doggone it.
and your suit of armor.
And my suit of armor.
Did you ever, or would you, could you ever ask your dad, like, what was going on when you left? What was his experience?
I've had, you know, little snippets here and there and conversation. But when I see the two of them together, you know, very loving and
yeah, but that still
does
like dad. Didn't you think about us and how bad was it with mom and what you know? What come on now?
Yeah, and then to leave us high and dry and to start another family without you know
no financial support.
No,
oh God,
no. That and that's for me the personal responsibility of taking care of your family.
That's weird to
but,
me.
Yeah,
it's so weird when men do that. I've had another friend that said that they went out in the street with kids and a mom because the dad just cut him off.
And it's happened to another girlfriend of mine. And yeah, it's
unthinkable.
It's unthinkable. I couldn't imagine. But if you don't have your thing, you know, if you don't have things sorted out for yourself and you're hanging on by your fingernails trying to keep a roof over your own head, you don't have anything spare
to give to your kids. Is that how he was? He was president of a bank.
Well, he was working at a bank and then he got fired because of that.
Because of what?
Because of the indiscretion with the secretary, I think.
Oh, a Me Too thing.
Yeah, so that whole thing back – well, it's – you know, it's. I think it's very frowned upon in corporate structure to have that
yes,
sort of
you can't,
thing.
Yes, you can't – well, when there's a power imbalance, it's an issue.
Yeah, so I anyway, so he wasn't at the bank very long and it was you know, he had to figure stuff out for himself and, you know, they
was
kept it
young?
Together. I think it was – I'm trying to do the math. If I was – let's see. He was 20 or something when he – I mean, they were both – see, this is the thing. They were both so young.
Yeah.
I didn't have my daughter till I was 38. So I can't imagine what it would have been like to be 20 years old.
Right.
With a child and then another a few years later.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine. Yeah, but I mean, back then, I guess they did. that's just how they rolled back then. Let's just pop them out. He must have been 40. So maybe some sort of midlife crisis thing. I don't know. It's like my one last chance at passion.
I guess.
If I was 16. But yeah, he was probably just 40.
Hmm.
Wow. But
so you no he's younger, right? He was 20 when you were born?
20 plus
13. So 16.
Oh my gosh.
He was 36.
Was he really that young?
He probably 33 when it all got going.
Oh, so he was still in the party animal phase. He shouldn't have been getting married having kids in the first place. Well, so thanks for just having me, you know. Just wanted to say that, put that out there. At least they had me, you know, cuz I'm here on this earth.
Gratitude.
Because they had me.
Gratitude, there it is.
So I'm not going to hate on them. I ain't going to be hating on them, tell them what they did wrong, because I'm here. And it all turned out okay in the end.
So there you go.
There you go.
That's an expression of
peace, gratitude. Shalom.
Thank you. And so what's next for you?
These are deep conversations. I knew it was going to go deep, but wow. Wow. I'm feeling exposed and I feel sorry for my family to have to listen to this.
Are you okay?
I should tell them at the beginning, please don't listen to this if you're in my family. No, hey, everybody's got their stuff. Nobody's perfect, and we're all just figuring it out.
And by the way, you've been very clear about that. Whatever resentments you've had, you've barely spoken of. You've spoken of where they screwed up and how made you feel. And I think they would go, yeah, that's probably what happened.
And then to think about how young they were when they had us. Yeah. It just blows my mind because I didn't, he must have been under 40.
He must have been 34 when he met the secretary.
Plus, wow.
34. Think about that. Well, 33 when he met the secretary.
Yeah, so wait, my mom.
You were
13. 18.
You were 13.
Yeah, 13. Maybe he was 22. 22 plus 13 is like still 35.
Mm.
Wow, I never figured that out.
And he didn't have any youth himself because he got married and had kids immediately.
Mm-hmm. And he looked like Elvis. He was very handsome.
Oh, okay.
Very handsome at the time. Very good looking parents. And you look at their picture like, wow, she looks like Priscilla Presley and he looks like Elvis.
Oh my God, show me a picture. Come on.
I don't have it.
Oh, come on now.
And they're in matching aloha wear too at the Princess Kaiulani Hotel. There's like this teal blue and white aloha pattern, you know, this vintage aloha wear.
So funny.
Yeah.
So what is next for you?
Well, this show I did last night, the doll face with
what?
With, oh yeah, sorry. This. So I worked till about 2 o'clock in the morning last night on this show called Doll Face with Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls.
Yeah,
hilarious.
She's
broad.
She
had the long brown hair.
Brown hair,
and she kind of talks like this, and she's very funny. She's hilarious, and the girl that I played her mother, Shay Mitchell, was on Pretty Little Liars.
Oh, you did mention that.
Yes.
And she was which character on that?
And I don't know what character she was on on that, but she's tall and beautiful and caramel brown skin with brown hair, and she's half Filipino. So
she was one of the daughters, I guess, of somebody?
Yeah, she was one of the daughters.
Yeah.
But so I did that show last night, and that's coming out in November as well.
Is that
a
movie or is that?
It's a series.
Series.
It's a series.
Like another Netflix series?
That one's Hulu.
I'm on Hulu. Okay, got
it. I'm on Netflix.
That's cool.
All over streaming platforms near you.
What's it called?
I have another show on Amazon, but it's an old show I did years ago.
Oh, which one?
Relic Hunter. Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. It's me as a female Indiana Jones.
Fantastic.
And it's on Amazon. Somebody told me it was on there. I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen it in years.
It's fantastic.
Because it was like 2000 that I was doing it.
Yeah. It's not even on your list.
It's not?
I'm looking at Lilo and Stitch.
Oh yeah, Lilo and Stitch. That's probably going to be on the new Disney streaming platform. So I've got streaming stuff. I'm streaming all over the place.
That's so funny.
There's a whole stream of Tia Carrere stuff.
Also says your first dream was to be a singer.
Yes. So that going back to the talent contests, and when I would go to visit my family in Samoa, I was singing at the Hotel Tusitala in Apia, Western Samoa, getting up and singing with a band. And
you want to do more singing?
Yes. I am putting together an act right now just to get up and sing some of my original stuff, some jazzy kind of stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, I love singing. It's very different from acting, because in acting you have somebody else's words, their clothes, their life that you're taking on and making part of you.
Mm-hmm.
But in singing,
it's you.
We aspire to, actually, at its highest level, it's your soul put into song. You know,
oh, wow.
When you open up your mouth to breathe or sigh or, you know, moan or sing, I mean, these are deep,
mm-hmm.
you know, primal sounds within us. So there's something really, really, I don't know. It's so freeing to be up there singing for me.
Personal, intimate.
Yeah, it's very personal, very yeah. intimate, very revealing. Mm. And you get to know a person through their voice more than anything,
exposing.
I think.
Exposing.
Hmm. Yeah, sometimes it gets a little scary up there. You're like, oh. But I love singing something where I'm feeling the emotions and I see that someone's crying or that I've touched them. And that's just so beautiful,
deal.
That moment
yeah.
to share.
Yeah. Well, I hope you do more of that. That'd be exciting.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
I'd love to see that. And I think we've said it all, as Howard Stern would say.
Oh, my goodness. We've said everything. Plus, I did Stern many, many years ago. Like when he did his book where he's standing on the cover with
clothes on. He's got a new book coming out called Howard Stern Comes Again. And it's you pre-ordered it, Gary?
They're certainly doing promo for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of – his wife's very active.
It seems like it's going to be really revealing because he's had years of psychoanalysis too.
I know. I saw him on somebody's talk show and I heard it in his voice.
Oh, and now
when he started talking about therapy.
And when he does an interview now, he is just a great interview because he has all these instincts now from having been sort of opened up by therapy.
You're a huge Stern fan. Do you think he's serious about retirement this time?
He may be. I'm sorry to say.
He's basically saying that it's making him physically ill.
I'm going to bet he'll extend 1 year.
Okay.
I could see how there would be a rub because his persona on air is so
intense.
Separate
yeah.
from where he is now in
yes.
life.
Yes, that's exactly
right. It's so
exactly
superficial.
Right.
It's vulgar. It's sensationalist. And he's such a deep thinking and he's an he's a sensitive man now.
He talks about that. Not quite that vividly, but I think you're right. I think you're exactly
it's
correct.
It's got to be really hard.
He's got what, 2 more years?
Correct.
And I'm going to predict 1 more past that, but I think that's it.
I mean, think about it.
He'll be 68 or something then at that point.
Yeah. And I mean, he basically said something like, you know, I never feel great, but I feel worse when I'm at work. I feel sick.
Yeah. Well, when you see some of the stuff that he did to girls back in the day, having them stick tampons up their nose and walk down the street topless or whatever he did, I mean, it must hurt his heart to think about what
he thinks he was an asshole.
Yeah, yeah,
and he just thinks I was an asshole and that was not well and now I'm better.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has empathy and understanding. And
so he can't do that stuff anymore, but that's what people listen in for.
He can still do some crazy stuff. Do you listen anymore?
No, I haven't.
It'd be so interesting if you were.
Well, because it's serious, right? I don't have serious. I listen to Pandora. I listen to podcasts on my phone.
Good.
In my car. So
excellent.
I'm a podcast person.
We love that.
Love podcasts.
What do you listen to? Podcast?
I listen to Oprah Soul Conversations. Mm-hmm. I listen to, How I Built This, Guy Raz, about all these entrepreneurs, how they started their companies.
Yep.
That's fascinating to me. A recent one scared the hell out of me was that the big one. The earthquake one.
Oh, jeez.
It was from NPR, and it was ways to prepare for the big earthquake that's inevitably going to hit Los Angeles.
It's inevitable. We live in a gigantic earthquake zone. Have you lived here during a quake?
Yes, I was here. I shot on True Lies the day after the Northridge earthquake, and we were shooting 3 miles from the epicenter.
I'm just remembering, that's the other reason. We were like having movie after movie you were in, and that's what we got. We saw True Lies, too. We just happened to be – we're like, jeez, we're like, what's with you?
What's going on? She's on all the channels right now.
But it was in our living room all of a sudden, and so we had this conversation about you, and that's – so crazy that you're now here.
Yeah, True Lies. That was, I shot my scene, my big torture scene where I'm talking. I had a whole paragraph of stuff and Jamie Lee and Arnold are sitting there. The earth was moving so much that the camera said, I'm sorry, we have to cut. We can't keep focus.
Was that the 92 quake?
That was the day after the 92 quake. And we had to evacuate because they were worried of an underground gas leak that was going to explode.
You were in that big sort of warehouse.
Yeah, we're
set.
At the Van Nuys Airport.
Oh, my God.
3 miles from the epicenter.
Wow.
And it's like, gung, 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 gung. Glass was falling from the windows. Jamie's like, what the hell are we doing here?
Oh, my God, that's too funny. Really funny.
War stories.
That's a good story. Yeah, I saw her telling a story, strangely enough. About that dance she had to do when she's pretending to be a prostitute.
Oh, and that's wonderful.
And when she grabs the
banister and falls.
Yes, and that actually happened, and they just kept it in. And she's like,
it's genius.
It's very funny.
Have you seen that striptease?
Oh, absolutely.
One of the best dance
falls,
sequences.
I'm sorry, but look at my age. You think I haven't seen that striptease? It's a large part of my childhood.
And Arnold literally, like, he's going to get up and help her. He's like, you see him almost jump out. And it's like, oh, she went right back to dancing.
That was so good.
So, all right. Like I said, the reason Stern came up is I said, you said it all. That's one of his phrases now.
And we've said it all.
We've said it all. Hope we haven't upset anybody. We said with peace and love, everybody.
Yes.
Peace and love to your family.
Peace, love, Bobby Sherman.
We're all just trying to get through life, and how great that you have had and continue to have such a wonderful life. And whatever Samoan crazy adventure your parents went on, they fucked up, but it turned out great.
Oh, they were bumbling their way through like everybody else, like I am still.
And likewise. So it's good to see you, and good luck with AJ and the Queen.
You.
I can't wait to see that. And the Hulu series is called
Dollface.
Dollface. We'll look for that. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
To your career. And we'll see you all next time.
For calling times and topics, follow the show on Twitter at Dr. Drew Podcast. That's DRDREW Podcast. The music from today's episode can be found on the Swingin' Sounds of the Dr. Drew Podcast, now available on iTunes. And while you're there, don't forget to rate the show. The Dr. Drew Podcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana and Gary Smith. For more information, go to drdrew.com. All conversation and information exchanged during the participation in the Dr. Drew Podcast is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or medical advice or direction. Nothing on these podcasts supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Although Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the American Board of Addiction Medicine, he is not functioning as a physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on the podcast or DrDrew.com.